miss the children going out today for children's church. So if you're ages 4 through kindergarten and you missed the opportunity, you'd like to go with your parents' permission, you're dismissed. Thank the Lord for that good ministry. And the 19 instrument players that were ringing the bell today, that was quite a blessing and an accomplishment to have that experience. Thank you all. And Thursday night, they were here later than I was, pretty much. And they were here before I was here this morning. Whoa. That's a lot of good experience together. If our relationship with Christ or our trust in God could be represented by the Bible standing for Jesus, and this is a church picture directory with some photos in it. Maybe you have a couple family photos in your Bible, I don't know. But if it represented our relationship to Christ, you know, each one of us, as we go through life, God loves us, He's near to us, but He wants us to receive Him into our hearts. And that's done by praying, Lord, I need You, I feel apart from You, there's sin in my life I have no forgiveness for, please come into my heart. And we receive Christ in our life, and He's with us as a friend, as someone who will change us from the inside out, and there we are, Christ in us. That's part of the good truth and experience we have with God. But also the Bible teaches us that just as Christ is in us when we ask Him to be Lord and Savior, we are in Christ. If the Bible represents Christ, and you and I and anyone else would be trusting the Lord this morning, this is really our identity. Remaining in Him, abiding in Him. It's a different picture than the first one I showed you. Certainly Christ is more predominant when we say, well, we're in Christ, abiding in Him and remaining in Him. We sense we're surrounded by Him. We're safer to be in Christ. And that's what the Lord prays for us to do and to continue in that relationship in the passage here from John chapter 15. To abide and remain and to dwell in Christ. We can experience God this way. As someone said, abiding in Christ is simply being with a friend who loves you and staying with Him. Hopefully you've had some experiences last week of being with somebody who loves you. Family member, friend, neighbor, church person this morning. Being with a friend who loves you and staying with them. That's what happens when we trust Christ and abide in Him. And some gifts that the Lord offers us in the passage here from John chapter 15 that we could take for ourselves and know He wants us to experience these gifts. And I think the gifts change our life, and they are a result, again, of remaining in Christ and having our trust in Him. The first gift would be cleanness. Cleanness. We all want to be clean on the outside is good. On the inside, clean is better. And Jesus said in verse 3 of chapter 15, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So God does something for us we can't do for ourselves. Cleans us up on the inside. Part of the good news of the Bible or the gospel of Christ is that God doesn't look at us through rose-colored glasses. Sometimes I look at myself that way. Or look at others that way. God does not look at us that way. He sees the sin in our hearts. He sees the dirt. He sees the faults and the weakness. He knows our frame, Psalm 103 says, that we're dust. Even the way God created us, we won't be. Our physical bodies won't last long. He doesn't look at us through rose-colored glasses, but He makes us clean and accepts us 100%. Because of Christ, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, the love and the commitment that is there. Once a teenager purchased a bunch of cherry bombs with him and his brothers around the 4th of July, and they rode around in their family car, making a lot of noise. If you don't know what a cherry bomb is, it's like a firecracker times 20. Boom. Big sound. And they drove through the neighborhood, tossed them on people's yards. Boom. You know, see who would run out on the porch and fast and see what was happening outside there. Well, after they made their rounds and had some noisy fun, they drove home. By the time they drove home, the police were out in front of their house in talking with the father. Someone had picked up their license plate number, made a few phone calls, and there's Dad and the law waiting to face them. And so the dad was with them to deal with what they had done. And when they faced the law, Dad faced the law with them. When they faced their accountability, Dad faced the accountability with them. When they went to apologize to everybody who they had been against, Dad went to work on that work of reconciliation. He made it better. Him being there made it better. Him being there made it possible. You might say they'd never do that on their own. See the police cars and run for the woods. But the boys said that because their dad was with them, they felt clean. They felt like forgiveness, that forgiveness can happen. They felt loved and accepted by the Father, even when facing really what they had done and who they were. And Jesus says to us, when we take a serious look at our own selves and stand accountable before God, he says, with Christ, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Who can make us clean but God? And an important part of dwelling in Christ or remaining in him is not to run away from God when we sense our need or sin, but to move toward him. Stay with him. Let him help in the problem. Once a little girl got her dress dirty before church. Kids get dirty before church. And I've had the instance of, having breakfast on me before I come. And so the girl, she gets dirty before church and tries to hide the dirt on her dress. First of all, she folds the dress over. Maybe no one will see. And then she pretends the dirt isn't there. Did you ever do that? Dirt? What dirt? Yeah, no dirt in here today. she did that. And then she said, well, I don't know if that'll work. She tried to clean it up herself, made a bigger smudge than what was there. And then she said, well, worst comes to worst, I know what I'll do. I'll hide. I'll hide from Mom. And if I hide, then the dirt, I don't have to even think about the dirt. And God says to us that when we realize there's sin in our life, though our sins are many, and he would remove our sin as far as east is from the west. He would do this. He would do this. Christ would. And so when we sense sin in our life, Christ invites us, dwell in him so we might know cleanness. Don't hide. Don't try to clean it up yourself. Don't say, what dirt? But rather, remain to Christ. Because the only cleanness you and I will ever experience, and this is to be a gift, not a sound of resignation, but the good news is that the cleanness that you and I, the only cleanness we'll ever experience, and the one that we really want to experience, is Christ. He's the cleanness that we're looking for. And so, dwell in him. Stay with that friend who you have received into your heart. Cleanness, a gift from him. The second gift is growing, or growth, being fruitful. I think everybody wants to have a fruitful life. Verse 4 in chapter 15, Jesus said, remain in me, I'll remain in you, because no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And fruitfulness in our common language would mean something good happening. You know, person has a, that was a fruitful experience. God mentions fruit in another part of the Bible, Galatians chapter 5. And to hear it this way, the fruit of God. What's the fruit of God in a person's life? The fruit of God. God's productivity, you might say. The fruit of God, the fruit of his Spirit, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you ever applied for a job in your life and you know, they ask you, what are your strengths? Would you have the courage to put forward, well, I have love and joy and peace, patience, I'm kind, I'm gentle and I have full of self-control. Most of us don't put that down on a job resume because we know that's not really us by ourselves. But God says that's the fruit He can produce, Christ-like character building in us of remaining in Christ like a good branch remaining in the vine. And that fruitfulness also influences other people to get to know where the fruitfulness come from. I want to meet the person who builds that into somebody's life. You think of the question, what makes a person successful? Or what makes you a successful Christian? If you ever think of it in that way, what makes you fruitful? A lot of times, if we go with our own way of looking at religion, or if we think of things the way the world does around us, we might say this, that productivity brings success, or fruitfulness brings success. So if I can just have enough fruit in my life, I can feel, hey, see, I'm fine. I got all the fruit I need. But that's not what Christ teaches in this passage, that fruitfulness brings success. He rather teaches that success, abiding in Christ, brings fruitfulness, brings the productivity. And so if we're looking for things in our life that we simply can't produce enough of, patience or love or joy, then we say, Lord, just like you're my Savior, please help me to abide in you and bear your fruit within me. Make me productive for you. And I often think, how does a branch bear fruit on a tree or a branch on a vine? How does that bear fruit? Does it bear fruit by its own effort? Oh, effort in life is very important. But is that really the key to bearing fruit? Your own effort. Or does it bear fruit simply by remaining connected to the vine? And this morning and throughout this week, were you connected to the vine? That is, did you remain in Christ? And someone once asked the question, how do you know if you're dwelling in Christ or abiding in Him? And the answer the person gave was simply, you just know. It's just like if someone asks you the question, do you love so-and-so? Well, I do this for them. No, that's not what I ask. Do you love so-and-so? Are they in the top of your heart? Do you love to do things for them? How do you know you're remaining in Christ? You simply know. It's by your trust, your heart lean. You say, my faith, where else would I go? And so as we lean on Christ or abide in Him, He produces fruit in our life that we really long for and that is a blessing to others. Jesus talks, too, about those who bear fruit will be pruned or trimmed or cut back a bit. See these beautiful trees and bushes in the neighborhood, and they look tremendous. And then one day you go back, and they got the old GI haircut, you know, buzzed back, and where'd everything go? And that's how God works on us. Even when we're remaining in Him, there's some difficulty. If you thought that abiding in Christ would just bring fruit and no difficulty, we're missing part of God's work in our lives. The pain that we feel about, should I have more of God or do more myself? And the pain that is internal in us, the constant war Paul speaks of when he says, well, the flesh wars against the spirit. That's part of the painfulness of growing that you and I feel. And I think we should feel that pain. Roger Staubach was once asked, he was a football player for the not like Dallas Cowboys years ago. He was a Christian man. He said, somebody asked him, how do you continue to participate in professional football with all the pain and the injuries and the limitations your physical body has? He says, you kind of accept that. He says, because if you're not playing hurt, you're not playing football. And as a Christian, if we're not experiencing some pain, wanting to abide in Christ and Him producing fruit, we're not really not really dwelling in Him. So perhaps this morning you thought, you know, to be close to God would bring smooth sailing and no problems. He is a wonderful Lord that restores our soul, but He helps us face pain first. It's the pain of our own soul without God, so that we might know the joy in our soul, knowing Him. And so those who abide in Him, He prunes, and they produce much fruit. We're glad about that. The third gift that I wanted to focus in on this morning is simply the word security, which I think is in the passage. It talks about those branches being in the vine, bearing much fruit. Verse 9 later in the passage says that Jesus says that the Father has loved Him, so He has loved us. And I found that in my own life and for people, I got to know Christ as the greatest and only source of security in the world around us. And security is very important. Our whole nation had a department of homeland security. And would there be enough soldiers and resources and money to keep us safe? You know, you kind of want that when the terrorism is in the world. And so for the terrorism against your own soul, what will be your security? Do you have enough resources on your own? Or would Christ and His love provide that for you as a gift? And I know for myself and others, we turn to many things for security, friendships or health or job or things we're familiar with. Those things were not meant to be our security. Christ was meant to be our rock and our refuge, because His love for us is like the Father's love for Him. Very strong. A wonderful example of living in the security of God is by a fellow named Brother Lawrence. He wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God, where all day long he felt like he was in this kind of dwelling in Christ relationship. He writes these words, and might this kind of thing be a part of our testimony as we trust God. He said this: I do nothing else but abide in His presence, turning my eye on Him with love. This I call a wordless secret conversation between my soul and God, which does not end. And when we think of dwelling and abiding, it certainly is, like any other relationship, a measure of mystery to it. I don't really know why I have some friends, but it's a good thing that God provides. And somehow when we abide in Christ and He's that security, we end up looking at His love more than our love for Him. I really was helped by a preacher named P.T. Forsyth, some of his writings. He wrote this about security in Christ. He said, we're saved not by the love we express, but by the love we trust. Again, it goes back to the strength of the vine. Saved not by the love we express. That's important. We should have that. We should grow in that. But by the love we trust. When I won't be strong, God will be strong for us. And so to know that in the vine we are safe. Outside of the vine we have no hope. But God is our hope. A modern example of abiding in Christ written by a busy mom named Annie. She says this on a typical day in her life, maybe yours too. I'm putting away the groceries at home. Kids are tearing through the house with paper bags on their heads screaming. Sounds like Bible school. She says, I feel like I'm being a little frazzled. But on the inside I pray, Lord, I know You're here with me, in and around me. Thank You for these groceries. Thank You for my noisy children. She says, I don't always pray this way, but I do take Jesus with me wherever I go. We keep each other constant company. And abiding in Christ, would you take that constant company of the Lord with you throughout the week? What kind of week will you have? Fruitful, pruned, but safe and growing, and be Be with the friend who loves you and stay with him. And Jesus says, abide in me. So we want to stay with him throughout this week and until we see him face to face. We thank the Lord for that desire he has in his heart. And might we take it up and lean on him this morning. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the invitation to abide in you or remain in you and dwell and stay connected. And Father, you give us tools to help us do this, your word, to hear from you and to speak to you. And even beyond that, Father, one another, we help each other stay connected. If I have more vine or branches around me, I can gain some health from the Jesus, you, the true vine. And so I pray, Lord, that we would lean on you, take our fruitfulness from you. That you'd work in us things we can't work on our own. As you said, apart from you, we can do nothing. And maybe, Lord, as we look back on part of our life, and even this last week, whether we're at work or in the home or in the neighborhood, a lot of what we did was just a waste of time. We didn't get much done, as it were. And perhaps the biggest reason was we weren't abiding in you at the time, because you do produce some fruit. And help us to trust you in this, to follow through with trust and obedience to your delightful self. And just be a delight to each of us here as we worship you and follow you this week. Might you bring forth fruit from your dear people. In your name we pray. Amen. Great prayer song we're going to pray, and testimony song, that each moment we have life from above with Christ.